Danielle McCartan here in the Boomer and Geo studio, the iconic Boomer and Geo studio, with one of the most iconic and recognizable men on TV, John Taffer. Welcome, and then this is an honor to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. You know, I'm a big fan of Boomer, so it's fun to be sitting here in the studio, too.
Oh, we should have put you in Boomer's chair then. Well, we're here because it's season 10 of Bar Rescue. Congratulations. It's a long-running show. When you filmed, you know, even just the pilot episode, season one, did you ever think it would be 10 seasons later, 9 seasons later?
No, crazy. You know, in TV, you don't know if there's a next year.
Right.
So I was happy. I thought I'd make a pilot and go home. And I thought that was pretty cool to make a pilot. But no, 15 years and 283 episodes, and I still love doing it.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm sure there's some different things this year. I saw Chris Kirkpatrick is going to be on. How is this season going to be like any other season that people have seen and grown to love?
You know, as a lot of us know, the industry's had a very hard time. We came out of the pandemic, then we went into inflation.
Right.
Now we have a hard time finding employees, so it's a really difficult time. Think about this. These families, their houses are on the line. Some of them already lost their home.
Yeah.
Spouses are fighting with each other. They're not respecting each other. So this is a very emotional season. I'm really proud of it.
I saw Chris Kirkpatrick. As a millennial myself, my interest immediately peaked. I was like, wait, was that Chris Kirkpatrick? I went back in the trailer. And I understand he was doing some sort of rescue with you, recon mission.
Yeah, he was doing my recon for me. And it's always fun. I get to bring friends on to do recon for me. I also have Mercedes Varnado, the wrestler.
Okay.
Championship wrestler, tough girl.
Yeah.
So she came and did recon for me too, which is great.
That is so cool. And I'm thinking like, well, did he let it slip that, you know, asking for a friend that him and four guys will be reuniting in a Vegas around the type arena?
He didn't mention it, but he did say that it was possible.
Well, there you go. You heard it here
you
first.
You never know. You never know.
I've been saving my money for that ticket. I think my dad always says, oh, you did one in New Jersey. Have you ever, and are there any around this area for this upcoming season?
Well, one of my favorite episodes ever a couple years ago was the Far Rockaway hurricane episode.
Oh, okay.
Which we did at Long Island. It was exciting. We did one on Staten Island, but nothing in New York this year.
Okay.
This year we're down south.
Oh, all down south.
And I try to move all around the country.
Yeah.
But this is probably the most emotional season we've ever had. I even tear up once or twice this
really?
Season.
Really? Yeah. You, tough guy. What happened? I know we'll have to wait and see, but
these family situations are very, very difficult. These people are really hurting.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm dropped in and I'm their last chance and I see it on their face, the stress, the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, they go to sleep at night in debt. They wake up in debt and it just defeats them. So me arriving is a chance of hope, but I got to deliver.
Right.
So it's a big responsibility, and I take it that way.
You always do. It's just a matter of them kind of carrying it throughout.
Forward. Some do and some don't.
Right. As we know, I'm a big fan of the show. My dad is too. He's so happy that we're doing this. I mean, I've watched. But in your opinion, what has been the most disgusting thing that you've seen on a recon mission?
Oh, boy. Well, I don't want to get too vulgar because we're on family radio here. But I have found used sexual apparatus behind the bar, dirty used sexual apparatus behind the bar. I won't go any further than that. I've walked into refrigerators and seen fungus the size of your head growing out of the wall, sitting right next to food.
Oh.
I've opened the refrigerator drawer on a cooking line, and it was a dead raccoon in it. The things that I've seen in Bar Rescue blow me away. I never thought this stuff even existed.
And it's all real.
It's all, every on my mother's grave, everything is real. You know, I get no briefing. I don't know. I'm not involved in casting. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing until I get there.
Yeah.
I get about a 60-second briefing, and then I go to work, and I'm only there for 4 days.
Yeah.
So it's imagine if you had a 60-day project, and I gave you 4 days to do it. Yes. You'd be a raving maniac, too.
Yeah. You know, when I first bought my house, my dad was like, this is not like you watch on HGTV. This doesn't get done in 3 days, you know. But you do it in 3 days, which
I
is
do.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It's very stressful, as you can imagine.
And the construction, too. It's like, you know, all of it. Like, I guess, what is your favorite part of it? Is it the menu redesign? Is it the training?
It's
is
the
it,
hug.
It's the hug at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The people that fight me the hardest, Dana, are the ones that hug me the tightest.
Yeah.
So it makes me be more aggressive the following week. That's why you see me get more aggressive over time.
Yeah.
Is I realize that I'm getting through.
Mm-hmm.
And that hug empowers me to be even tougher the following week, and I am.
Yeah. I always think back when, as you're talking there, to the Israeli guy.
Yeah.
That guy, he was tough.
Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was a tough guy. Ami.
Ami. Yeah. He was.
But he became a friend in the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Ended up working out.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I remember we went, my friends and I went to New Orleans, and we're walking down Bourbon Street, and I was like, guys, stop. This is the bar that John Taffer did. With
Spirits
the,
on Bourbon.
Was that the one with the shot chair?
Yes.
Yeah, we did it. Yeah, that was like, I made sure we stopped for that, just because that was a place you did. So
they made so much money, they just sold that place for millions of dollars.
Oh, my God. Good. Like, would you get a cut of that? I mean,
No, but I'm very proud of it, so that's good enough.
Do you ever go back to the places that you've done just to kind of, not check up on them, but just kind of visit?
I try not to. I don't want to disrupt their business. So when I leave, I don't reach out to them. If they reach out to me, we become friends.
Okay.
But I leave that up to them. I'm very respectful of their business.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, how do they even get on? Like, they reach out to you and fill out a form on the website and say,
they
hey,
reach out to the network or my website.
Yeah.
And I don't get involved in any casting or anything. I have people that, because I don't want to know. I want to keep it real. So.
Right. Exactly. Do you, you know, it's been, not 10 seasons, but the first 9 seasons. Why do you think people still tune in?
You know, I think because it's not a business transformation show. It's a human transformation show. Mm. We've all struggled in life.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been defeated in moments. We all need hope.
Yeah.
We all want to see people get hope. Mm-hmm. So I think that the human aspect of the show is what connects everybody. Yeah, I think they like to remodel.
Yeah.
But I think seeing people transform, seeing families come together, seeing people deal with those struggles is something relatable to us all. We've all been there in moments in our lives.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we get out of it?
Well, right, with the help of John Taffer, of course.
Well, I hope, yeah.
I actually like, of course there's that, but I like just kind of like the science. I'm not a science person, but there was one episode you were like, if I put the barriers here on the dance floor, it forces the people to come together to talk to each other.
The butt funnel.
Yeah, the butt funnel.
Yes.
That, how do you, where does, I mean, do you have a degree in psychology?
I study human behavior. So there's a couple of things about a bar that are interesting. For example, you know how bars have elevated platforms?
Yeah.
Imagine you're sitting up there. You're a beautiful girl. I like you. I want to make eye contact with you.
Yeah.
So I come up the stairs and I walk through the elevation, but there's no staircase on the other side.
Yeah.
So I hit a dead end. Yeah. Now I have to turn around and go back. I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
But if I put a second staircase in, I can flow through.
Right.
Have eye contact with you and maintain my cool.
Right.
So that's important. Rookies don't put the second staircase in. Uh-huh. Pros do.
Uh-huh.
Other thing is bar stools.
Yep.
At zero level,
mm-hmm.
you put people in bar stools. At elevated levels, you put them in low chairs, so everybody's eyes are within 10 inches uh-huh. of each other.
Uh-huh.
The more we look in each other's eyes, the more we connect. You can drink at home. You can eat at home. You can watch and listen to anything at home.
Right.
I don't need a bar for that. Social interaction is what drives this business. So everything I do in design and layout and lighting, as I turn the lights down,
uh-huh.
you get closer.
Yeah.
As I make the music louder, you get closer. So all of these things are scientific stimuli to change human behavior.
Yeah, that to me is fascinating. And I mean, when you go to a restaurant on your own time, you walk into a place here in New York City, anywhere, what is like something that you would look at and be like, all right, we're not staying here, or let's go find a different place?
Yeah, I typically decide 3 steps in.
Okay.
Smell.
Okay.
Disorganization or organization. I can look around and see if the place is organized
uh-huh.
or not. How does the staff look? Are they uniformed? Are they clean?
Uh-huh.
Does it seem like there's attention to detail? Sometimes the front door is filthy.
Uh-huh.
If the front door is filthy, can you imagine what the back looks like?
Kitchen.
So little indicators like that. If I pick up a salt shaker and it's all greasy on the outside, that's an indicator.
Smell, meaning like just like a...
The yeasty smell, the mildewy smell, the smell of dirt.
Yeah.
Okay. You smell it when you walk in.
Well, there's some places here in New York, so I just wanted to make
absolutely.
Sure, make sure everybody knew
I could
that.
Spend the rest of my life rescuing bars in this city.
and you live in Vegas. Now, you're from here, but you live in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mentioned to you, I'm going in August. Where is there a place that I need to make sure that I go that I might not haven't been?
Well, you have to go to the Sphere.
The Sphere, okay.
The Sphere is the most incredible thing you've ever seen. Whether you see Wizard of Oz, the Backstreet Boys, or the Eagles, or whoever, the Sphere is one of the most remarkable entertainment experiences you will ever have.
Okay. Restaurant-wise?
Oh, restaurant-wise, there's so many.
I know there is.
I mean, there's Lavo, which is wonderful.
Okay.
Bavette is wonderful. Cut is wonderful. Okay. I mean, Las Vegas has the greatest assembly of chefs and restaurants in the world.
I know. And so the entertainment, all in one.
Everything is there. So have a great time.
My
get some rest before you go, because you're not going to get a lot while you're there.
I know. It's my second city. I love it out there. Well, we're here at WFAN Sports.
Yeah.
You were walking in and you said Spike TV used to be in this building.
That's
Take me back to season one, walking in here, not sure that this was going to go on for as long as it has.
Yeah, I never expected any of this, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. I never expected the fame. I never looked for fame. I never thought I would be on television. Yeah. It was a fluke.
Yeah.
Somebody came up to me and said, you should be on TV, and it happened. Mm-hmm. But if you asked me 15 years ago, I would have never thought in a million years this would happen to me, especially last this long.
Right.
But I think the trick is I'm honest. I'm really honest. I'm very authentic.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I've survived so long.
You've got the Tafford Dynamics firm. You work with the NFL. In what area specifically?
In the mid-90s, there was a company, this is a fascinating story. In the mid-90s, there was a company called ComSat that reached out to my company and said, we want to buy out-of-market NFL signals.
Okay.
So we want to sell the Dallas Cowboys in New York.
Okay.
Do a feasibility study for us. So I did a feasibility study, charged them a lot of money for it, gave the feasibility study to ComSat. ComSat manages all the satellites in the sky.
Okay.
After that, they said to me, John, this is great. What does the product look like? So now we started designing a Sunday Ticket product. At that moment, compression happened.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, a sports bar had to have those analog dishes in a quarter acre behind the bar, all those big dishes to get multiple games.
Right.
When compression happened, you could get multiple games on one transponder. Changed everything.
Okay.
So now we say, boy, we can deliver 7 games at the same time, which was the amount of games we had at the same time back then.
Right.
So we created this package, which was this called out-of-market programming then. Then ComSat comes back to me for a third project and says, okay, tell us who we'd sell it to. What's the universe?
Yeah.
The Fridays of the world and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they took my work, brought it to the NFL, said, we want to license these signals from you. And the NFL said, wow, this is great. Let's do it ourselves. They put me on a board of NFL Enterprises, and it became NFL Sunday Ticket.
That's awesome.
Now it's on YouTube, and it's changed. It was originally just on DirecTV.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm proud of it, and it's the sports model that the NBA and all these other leagues have used as well.
Right. So I wanted to get into that, how you have really evolutionized the way people watch sports, whether it be in their own homes or out at bars.
Yeah.
Where do you think it goes next?
I think it goes next. We're going to be combining betting, I think, in sports programming. I envision that you're going to be watching a game. The top left corner is going to be a chat box with your friends. The top right corner is going to be your bet.
Yeah.
And where your betting is going. The bottom right might be your fantasy stats.
Yeah.
You know, and the bottom left might be another piece of information. But I see a great integration of chatting, communicating, betting, and watching the game all in the same format.
Interesting. Even like a bottom left could be like a live stream of like me in my house and you
whatever
in your house.
Absolutely. I'm watching you as I'm watching the game.
Yeah, right.
But I think we're going to find this type of connectivity and interfacing amongst all these aspects of sports.
Wow, that's interesting. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Growing up around here, I mean, even back to the show, is that where the no-nonsense attitude kind of comes from?
I think I'm a little of a New York guy, for sure.
Yeah. People around the country are probably like, oh, this guy. But it's in our nature around here.
It is our nature. You know, in New York, if you're not aggressive, you don't get a seat on a bus, you don't get a seat in a subway, you don't get a seat in a restaurant. So, I mean, you got to be pretty aggressive to survive in this city.
Yeah, exactly. Your favorite drink is the Godfather, I read in the press release.
Yes.
What's more New York than that, of course.
Yep.
What's in it? How do you make it? Quickly.
Oh, it's about 1.5 ounces of scotch.
Okay.
And 1/2 ounce of amaretto floated on top.
Okay. Mixed in or just?
You just float it on top, but you'll mix it while you drink
it. Yeah,
okay. But yeah, it's delicious.
I'm going to have to try that. We're in the WFAN building. Growing up around here and even living in Vegas and keeping in touch with your teams, I don't know. What do you know about the Fan? How is it embedded in your life?
Well, I grew up with the Fan. So, you know, I know the station well. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I live and die New York Yankees.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to grow up on Long Island, and I knew Whitey Ford very well.
Wow.
And I was very good friends with his son, and I used to get to go to the ballpark with them often.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I have a deep personal connection to the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Knicks, I love the Knicks. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in the Rangers these days, and I think the Giants could use a little work, but there's some promise in the Giants now.
There is.
So coaching, quarterback, but honestly, I think any change to the Giants right now is a good change.
I mean, seriously. New head coach, new quarterback. There's a lot of promise for the New York Giants. I want to be kind of creative here. If you could assign a drink, any drink, to the New York Giants, we'll start with, what would it be? Knowing the culture of the Giants and the area, what would it be?
I would think it would be either, now I could say a Cosmo.
Okay.
But that's a female-oriented drink.
Right.
But the Giants are about as cosmopolitan a city team as can be.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to choose the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yep.
Strong. Consistent.
I had a feeling you'd go with that one for them. Well, now here, what about the Yankees?
Oh, Yankees. Boy. I think the Yankees, I'd have to pick. something that's very award-winning.
Okay.
So I might pick something like a mule.
Oh, okay.
Something like a mule, because mules push on no matter what.
Yeah.
The Yankees push on. Yeah. You know, when I was growing up in New York, I used to think the World Series was the best team in baseball against the Yankees.
Really?
Because they were every year.
I know.
Yeah. So you get a little spoiled growing up in New York with a team like that.
I know. I grew up in the 90s. You don't have to tell me that. Right. All right. How about the Golden Knights, your team?
Well, you know, I was one of the first season ticket holders of the Golden Knights. Yeah. I was very excited when the NHL came to Vegas.
Yeah.
Most successful sports franchise of all time. Made it to the Stanley Cup our first year. And I got to tell you, if it wasn't for that five-minute penalty, which was complete BS, we would have won that. We would have won the Cup that year.
Yeah.
And the NHL even changed their rules, and they made that penalty now judged by Toronto mm-hmm. rather than a local ref. They never admitted the mistake.
No, they won't.
But they changed the rules, didn't they?
That's right.
So I'm very proud of my Las Vegas Golden Knights. You know, yeah. It's amazing for a new franchise to create a dynasty like they have.
From the beginning, from the
day one.
Yeah.
And all misfits, as they called them. Yeah. All players that were rejected by other teams came together.
Yep.
And every one of them performed better for the Knights than they did with their previous club.
It's got to be some sort of psychological human behavior type thing behind
there
that.
There is. It was the October Massacre.
Yeah.
Which happened a week before the Knights' opening game.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt they were playing for something far more important than them.
Mm.
And they were.
Yeah, I see all, when I go, I see all the Vegas Strong jerseys.
Yeah, that was a very difficult time for the city, and they helped pull us out.
Yeah. Talk about the Giants, the hire of John Harbaugh. I'm excited about it. Yeah, what does he bring to the team?
Well, I think, he brings some energy.
Yeah.
I think he brings a lot of experience, and I think he brings the credibility that the marketplace needs to believe in him again. So I think there's a lot that he brings with him.
Experience is another
absolutely.
One. I saw, I was at Radio Row, but I didn't see it happen. Jackson Dart was kind of presented with the trophy, with the Lombardi trophy, him and Cam Scataboo. And she was trying to bait them to touch it, and he was like, no, I'm going to touch it when I earn it.
Yeah.
What does that say about his leadership?
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, he leads by example.
Yeah.
And I think that he's a great coach for that reason. You know, he's a very dependable. He's tough.
Yeah.
But I think his experience and his personality, players love him. I think they love working for him, and he gets a little more out of every one of them, and that's what we need.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Yankees, a big topic that callers, and you know, John from Las Vegas can call in and say, they didn't do enough this offseason. In my mind, I don't think they did. Do you
think
they did? Yeah,
I agree. A little disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, Bellinger, great.
We're a better team than that.
Yeah.
I think we are.
Yeah, and it's a little frustrating. So what do you want to see more of from them this season?
Little hit production, I think.
Right.
You know, I think we need a little clutch play. You know, they were great at times, but at clutch moments, they really dropped the ball. And, you know, what makes the Yankees special is they're a clutch ball club.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't this year.
Yeah. And moving forward, who knows? It's essentially the same team moving forward.
Yeah.
You look at the upcoming probable lockout between Major League Baseball, the Players Association, and the league. You as, like, major negotiator, chief negotiator, John Taffer, what advice would you give to the both sides moving into this,
You know, baseball has a value proposition, as a lot of sports do today.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I mean, the days of taking four kids to a baseball game and having it be affordable are just over.
Yeah, and eat there and park there. And
so, I mean, when you look at the owners that are dealing with a lot of elevated costs,
mm-hmm.
they certainly are.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with players, you just want more money, many of them receiving multi-million dollar paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're negotiating. I get it. They want more money. I don't argue with them wanting more money, but they need to understand they're going to affect the value proposition of baseball even more.
Mm.
Tickets are going to go up more. The fan impact. And if we go into a strike, we all know what that strike does. Look what it did to the NHL. It took them years to recover from those strikes.
Yeah.
So I don't think they should allow that strike to happen. I think they should be smarter than that.
Right.
But I think that we all need to understand that some of these sports from a position of selling tickets and going to the games are getting cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And how does the American pastime stay the American pastime if an American family can't afford to go to it? So I worry. And I worry that the outcome of this is a negative consequence on the fans.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Talking about Vegas, how the city embraced the Golden Knights right from the outset. I got a lot of contacts in Vegas. Do you think the city is going to embrace the A's as much as they have even the Raiders, which, you know, I know the Golden Knights are separate, but the Raiders, the, you know, teams like that?
Well, you know, I think the reception of the Raiders didn't have a great year.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights came into Vegas and, you know, made it to the Cup first year.
Right.
The Raiders tanked. So I'm not sure Vegas is as positive about the Raiders as we sit here today as they were about the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the A's. You know, they don't come to us with any tremendous historic history. Mm-hmm. They've been a broken team for a while. Mm-hmm. They're building a magnificent stadium.
I've seen.
It's unbelievable what they're going to build, but that's very much Vegas. It's going to be a spectacular experience when you go there. We'll see. It's not that big a stadium. It, you know, they're not building 60,000 seats or anything, but we'll see. It's I'm a little concerned.
Right across from the MGM, right in that lot
It's right there
in
that corner, right where Tropicana used to be.
Yes, that's right. They knocked that down, Have you been consulted at all for any part of the stadium?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Would you like to be?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I've consulted to the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked in Legends Club, and I've walked around the stadium, and I've written documents, and I've made suggestions to them over the years.
Yeah. I mean, the Legends is an unbelievable experience.
Greatest sports buffet in the world, man.
Amazing.
Lobster tails and everything you'd want.
King crab legs.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. And you can hit a baseball with those crab legs.
I know. They're like this big.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
If you haven't been to the Legends Club in Yankee Stadium, it's something you got to do.
And the candy wall at the end is grab it and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get up and out of here, I was wondering if I can get one good shut it down.
Of course. I've been sitting here with you. We've had a nice conversation, but it's time for you to shut it down.
That's awesome. And the new season of Bar Rescue, season 10, returns on the Paramount Network February 22nd. It's Sunday, 10 p.m. for a double premiere episode, and I'm sure you'll be locked on it. I know I will be. Thank you.